some of these people on the air and get the dialogue going, and then whatever side I end up having somebody come in on, then we're going to try and work that towards yes with conditions from wherever they're at.
I wonder if anyone wants to talk to you now.
Well, I don't see anything on the board.
But you haven't given out the phone numbers.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've got to do these. Well, you see, these are little things that, you know.
Poor Michael do that.
we probably
don't even know the phone numbers.
Yes, I do.
4-7-9-10-8. Oh, there's somebody calling. Let's put that person on right now, okay?
Well, let's do that.
Okay,
and let's see if I can do this. It's ringing.
Okay.
So I've got an unhappy face over here. So which face do I use here? Yeah, you see, my listeners will bear with me while I figure out the board.
You're doing fine.
Okay. Hello, you're on.
Blank face. You know, we've got the listeners need to understand that we've got these little computer screens up here and their buttons.
Who's on with us?
So we have somebody just calling in. We'll wait and see here.
We'll wait and see. But anyway, the deal is that yes with conditions is really where we've got to get to in order to get anything done in Santa Cruz. And it's really not about politics anymore. It's about business. And can we create a society out here that actually where we can enable our politicians to do what we need them to do and get some business done in Santa Cruz so that we don't have to look at regressive taxes or any of that stuff and just make the economy fly itself. And it's possible. And that's where my good friend Tony Hill suggested that I use the moniker easy because, you know what, it really isn't that hard. And when you get down to the basics, it's about, you know, if you open with no, no is always the first two letters of nothing. And so if we want nothing to happen, then just keep saying no to everything, and we'll eventually dry up and blow away. So we work with yes with conditions, and I hope that I can get people to sort of use that as a tag from now on, that when somebody says no right out the gate, then they realize that whether they realize it or not, they're leaving no negotiating position at all. And if we can start with yes with conditions as opposed to no, then we might actually get something done in town, and that really isn't that hard, actually. So we'll just make it easy, and it's going to be easy on KSCO AM 1080 at 479-1080. And I'll be your host for this interesting hour. And as we tune the show up, I'm a little count on the people that know me out there to call me up and say, hey, you know, why don't we try this or that? And we'll take the questions and we'll format the show for the first, four shows. And then by that time, we might have something going.
Hey, Ed, what do you think are some of the issues that people should be thinking about here in Santa Cruz?
Well, you know, having lived in Louisiana for a while, then Breaux Bridge, we all live in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're sitting on top of four earthquake faults that could each produce 4.7, you know, a 7.5 or better. And when I was downtown at the 6.9, which was the pretty big one. And let's think about what would happen if we had a 7.5, and are we ready for that? So, you know, maybe that's one of the little things that I think we ought to be paying attention to. If we're learning anything, is that, you know, do we want to close the airport? That's the only place you can land a C-130. And in the 6.9, which was the pretty big one, that was about the only place this stuff was coming in. So do we want to close the airport? Is that one of the things that we really want to do? When you can't get over 17 in the other places, what do you want to do with it? So that's one issue.
Are you still there, Michael? Maybe Michael has disappeared. Hey, so it's you and I, Ed.
Oh, that's a scary thing, isn't it?
You know, one of the things that we brought up last hour was the whole notion of rebuilding New Orleans after the floods, and talked about the tremendous cost that's going to be incurred. And yet we're kind of in the same situation here. You know, when you talked about earthquake, San Francisco itself is sitting on top of the San Andreas Fault. What happens when that thing goes off? Are we going to be looking to the rest of the country to rebuild San Francisco, even though we know it's sitting on top of the San Andreas Fault?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, isn't it? Well, you know, but it took us 10 years just to rebuild the downtown Santa Cruz. And you know what? One of the interesting things is people complained about how long it took us. But I looked at all the wrangle that went on with that as a healthy thing because, you know, it could have ended up, if we just decided to just rush ahead and done it, we might have ended up with a Sears on every corner, and that would have really destroyed the town. So in a way, it took us 10 years. But that kind of, they debated and they wrangled and they bitched at each other up and down the wall, but you know, we came up with something that kind of worked. And whether you know, I look back on the old mall fondly with all the things that used to be there, but you know, Santa Cruz is going to change and it's going to grow. There are just more people on this planet, and we have to deal with that. And in order for it to grow to any semblance of the way anybody really wants it to, we have to be willing to give a little bit. And that's where yes with conditions comes in. That's the thrust of the whole show, is that, you know, if you open with no, then, well, we're just going to take that much longer, and almost guaranteed to not get anything you want. So
okay, somebody came to you and said, Ed, we need to get rid of the airport and build housing for the people who don't have housing here.
That's what happened, too.
Yeah. It is. Well, that's one of the debates. And, you know, I think that the efforts...
How would yes with conditions apply to that?
Well, yes with conditions is, you know, is there land around there? Is there a compromise that we can work on that? Now, you know, one of the things that I have been warned against by my, you know, the focus group that I put this for before I ever, you know, volunteered to make an ass out of myself on public radio was to keep my own opinions really out of this deal. And so, you know, we've got really qualified politicians that are out there on both sides of the aisles that are, yeah, we need more housing. Now, where do we put that? But, you know, the thing is that what's underneath that airport? It's going to be a super fun site the minute they rip up the concrete. Is that where we want to put housing for, you know, for affordable housing?
You know,
there's so many questions to that. You brought up
an interesting point, Ed. I'd like to throw this to Michael Zwirling. Can a good talk show host be a good talk show host without putting their own opinions on the line, Michael?
Yes, because I used to be a good talk show host before I gave out my opinions.
Oh, boy.
And it's when I started giving out my opinions that I became a lousy talk host.
In what respect? What do you mean?
No, actually, I used to pride myself in putting out opinions here about in not putting out my opinions, actually. There wasn't a time when I was on the air when I didn't feel like I had a strong opinion that I wanted to tell everybody. In fact, I almost wanted to burst, but I didn't figure that I wanted that to be my my on-air demeanor or whatever. I figured I was supposed to be Mr. Moderate.
Well, can you be moderate and still have an opinion?
Well, yeah, but if you're a moderator, if a person's role is that of a moderator, then that's different from being the role of a communicaster.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. After a few years, I decided, what the hell, I'm going to have an opinion, you know.
Cool.
So I try to be a moderator, too.
So that means I have a couple of years before I turn into a bad talk show host?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. Let's find out what Roxanne in Santa Cruz has to say about all this. She's our first caller on the Saturday special. Make sure we're pot six is up, you know, to about three quarters, and I will put Roxanne on. Hello, Roxanne. You are on the air.
Hi.
How you doing?
Is my radio bothering you? It's in the other room.
Yes, your radio is bothering you. No, don't go away. It's okay. I'm only kidding.
Hey, I had a subject that I thought we should be thinking about, but I also wanted to say that I think I shared this with you, Michael, before, that the best hour of radio that I ever heard was when the moderator did not insert himself, when the public, their opinions came through, their reasoning. Nobody was changing what they said, doing a spin on what they said, hanging up on them early because they didn't like what they said. And I was so amazed by how intelligent people were. You know, there were people I didn't agree with, but their intelligence and the ability to finish their thought and everything counted for so much.
Right.
That's what I want to say on that subject. The subject that I think that we should be thinking about, and there's no negotiation for me, by the way.
So yes, with that, yes with conditions is not an option.
Well, no, it isn't, because so many conditions have been granted already that it's like, to me, it's the end of the road, and that is the boardwalk suit against the city for complete ownership of the boardwalk in the 3rd Street parking lot, and the fact that it is actually my children's heritage because the mean high tide line crosses it. And it's not negotiable to me, although we don't know what the courts will do, because the courts don't follow the laws anymore. They do what they want. I just really think that it's something that people who particularly have lived here a long time or were born here should be thinking about and getting active about. The general opinion seems to be of people who have been in bed with Seaside Company for years is that, oh, we wouldn't have a town without them. But the truth is that they were squatters. We let them use that. We were great.
We who?
We, the city. Let them build that boardwalk out there on the beach. They did not pay for it. They just paid for building it. They pay something like $42,000 a year. And we asked them just to keep up the property.
Roxanne, This is a joke, right?
You want the complaint?
You're joking.
No, Michael.
You're an agent provocateur to calling to get the phones ringing on this otherwise dead radio program,
actually,
right? Please tell me that's what you're doing.
No,
here.
Michael. Wait, before you go off, I'll just get you the complaint and you can read it. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to listen to stuff like I've listened
That's
to.
That's private property.
It is not private property. That's what you all think, and that's great for them. It's not private property.
Private property. Wait a second, Ed. I can't let this go by. There's no private property, I guess, right, Roxanne, in your thinking?
That is
Unless it's your
public.
Private property, right?
No. See, Michael, you always say this to me. Like, you're religious, right, so you don't believe in abortion. Anytime I say something, you try. I don't fall into the box. That is not private property. What they've put on it, they own. I mean, no one wants to take that away. No one wants to stop.
And the police power of the city allowed that to be constructed, although I'm not sure that there was such things as building permits back in those days, in 1906, 1907, when the boardwalk was first built.
It was just a little, you know, hamlet-type setting down there with the beach cottages. And.
But I said that it's private property, and you've taken issue with me.
No, the beach area where the boardwalk is not private property, Michael, and you need to look at it before you...
I have. I've looked at the parcels on the tax assessor's parcel map. The beach is public property, but the boardwalk part of it is private property.
There's a 1933 set aside that allows them to keep using it. You need to look at the things. I didn't want to start a discussion about it today.
But you've said something that's incorrect.
No,
I can't let you go by.
No,
with that.
Michael, no, you are not correct, and you need to get correct. And if you want to talk to somebody about
it, you are telling me that the land that the boardwalk buildings, the King Neptunes and the Giant Dipper and so forth, is not owned privately by a corporation called the Seaside Company. That's what you're telling me. Am I correct?
The buildings on it they own. They don't own the land. They do not own the land. You own the land, Michael. Your children, if you have any, your grandchildren, that should never be taken away from them. That is their heritage. And that happens in a lot of instances where people don't own the land, but they own their house or the building that's on it.
If you are correct, I will certainly publicly apologize to you.
I believe I am.
But I think you're very
wrong.
If
you look at the records from the 1800s, you'll see the mean high tide line runs right through that boardwalk. And you can never sell anything that past the mean high tide line out towards the ocean. That is in heritage for your children and for the city. That anyone that's ever comes thereafter.
Okay.
So Roxanne, is there now? You know, this is in keeping with my show on Monday.
That's
night.
All I was saying is I think it deserves a place of something to look at.
Absolutely.
But I feel bad because I just want to tell you that to me there's no more concession. That can't happen.
Okay. Well, you know what? I hear the no at any price. But now, what if the boardwalk deeded some kind of this land back to the public trust and then worked on getting some of the housing changed over on that little parcel? What if they made concessions that accommodated your
debt? There's no housing on that parcel. There's a
No, what I'm saying is in the area. But what I'm saying, you see, there are a lot of issues that are tied into this because, you know, this really, you can walk this one right into the hotel conference center.
Well, they've tried that before. They've tried to give us land like up in the hills or something like that.
No. I'm talking about if there were concessions that were made to deed that, you know, and I know exactly what you're talking about, and I've heard the issue before, and, you know, and like I said, I'm not going to say whether I disagree or agree with you, but I certainly hear and respect your opinion. And I think that's where we got to start, is if the Seaside Company would say, okay, let's see what we can do with this, you know, and then get some planners in there and say, okay, you know what, I'm not going to say no at any price. I'm going to work on this thing, and I'm going to incorporate the concessions. Are you willing to give a little bit and to say, look, you know, the Seaside Company has a, you know, it's an important tax contributor. Whether they think that they own the place or not doesn't really matter. But what if they came back and said, okay, you know, I understand that this piece of real estate is a no at any price kind of an issue for the people that are on the other side of this issue than me. And do we have to define them as somebody that's on the other side and create two intractable positions? Because like I said at the beginning of the show, no is the first two letters of nothing. So if what you want is to get none of what you want, then that's what we keep doing. And this is really the reason that, you know, that I'm barking on this channel. So I totally respect your position.
That's why I'm talking to you, because
yeah.
I feel that it's no.
Yep.
I feel that it's no, because once that piece of property would be deeded to the boardwalk, then it could be sellable to any kind of concern. It's already a business that, although it attracts tax dollars, it also attracts a lot of crime.
Sure.
So, mm-hmm. no, to me, that's as far as in our city, I'm only speaking for me.
No, it's okay. You know what? It's interesting is that, you know, the way I'm going to figure this deal is that when we get one caller on there, they represent about another 300 or 400 people that are
out
there. So, you know,
I
your opinion is not alone.
Yes, you know, I think you should too.
Oh, Michael. Michael's whirling. You are
Michael,
such a bad boy.
This is a negative
free
zone.
You can't
now.
Take it. Bye.
Saying yes, I think she should hang up too, is positive, not negative. Come on, you guys. Okay, Theodora's up next. Thanks. Theodora, you're up next. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm calling because of the previous discussion, and I just wanted to clarify.
Excuse me. Hold it right there. I'm very, very nervous because at the moment you are the only caller to everybody's favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSU. 479 1080 and 477 1340. If we finish up with you, Theodora, all that's going to be left is Ed and me and maybe Michael. No one wants to listen to us. We want
to
hear callers, so call us at 479-1080 or 477-1340. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm doing my best to help out here. Yeah, just a quick clarification. As far as I know, because I followed this issue as well, the piece of property that's being talked about is a triangular piece at the end of the boardwalk where they have a parking lot now. It's not the part of the beach that the boardwalk is actually sitting on, because that's not Tideland's property. That's actually beach, and they own it, as far as I know. So it's just a small triangular piece. But, and further what Roxanne's saying is that this is not something that can be negotiated away. It's in the Constitution of California that the Tidelands belong to the people, and essentially it's part of
I would agree with that.
The ecosystem of the river that needs to be protected.
The ecosystem, right.
That's why it cannot be sold off, because it's part of how you keep a river fresh and keep it, you know, cleaning itself and all of that. So I just wanted to clarify that, because she's a little confused that it includes the buildings of the boardwalk, which, as far as I know, is private property.
Roxanne is a very nice lady,
it's an important issue, and I know what she was saying. It's like, hey, some things you can't negotiate away. You cannot negotiate away constitutional rights. So, anyway, keep up the good show, and people out there, it's fun. This is a good chance to call in and not have to wait on the line very long.
Yeah, Live Oak David is up next. Thank you, Theodora. Hey, Live Oak David, you're on.
Yeah, talk about levels of confusion.
What's the matter,
David? It's hilarious. There's nothing in the state constitution that says this. There are provisions that have been made over periods of rulings and stuff not addressed by the constitution of the state under real estate law. Yes, the high tide can be anything, is public accessible. Doesn't mean it's publicly owned land. There are many places within the state of California beach areas, and there's recent rulings in the last 10 years regarding Malibu and all of that that grants public access to the area from the high tide mark to the ocean.
Did you say public
access?
No,
Michael. Access. The ability to go to, use, utilize, and all of that.
Just wanted to make that clear.
If you look back into the flood tables that are available down at the courthouse or in Sacramento or at the McHenry Library at UCSC, you can see that would clarify that parts of Front Street, because of tidal floodal zones based upon high tide, some of those areas could be considered now high tide. All of Capitola, all the way up to past the Capitola Mercantile, would be public land then. based upon the high tide areas during the highest tides of a particular season. So there are a lot of areas. You can go up and down the coast, and by slanting the access judgments and high tide, you could, going back to the 1400s, you could say that in Scotts Valley, because you find shark's teeth and whale bones, that would be a high tide level during the Pleistocene era. There's also a thing called easement by construction, which is legal real estate law in the state of California. If your house, Michael, I build a fence into your property, and for a period of time that fence exists and you do not contest it, it becomes easement by construction.
Is
and
that
you
the
would
same
have a
as
hard time
prescriptive
coming.
Easement?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
So you would have a hard time fighting that back. At
right.
worst case, it would become a public easement.
And
so
after how long a period of time?
I believe it's at 50 years. But
hey, David, are you a lawyer?
I've been involved with property law for some time. But
okay.
It's a very misquoted, misconstrued. There's been judgments both ways, but I mean, if we could say downtown Capitola is now public property for the city of Capitola, we could say Long Beach, the whole Long Beach area is.
Ed wants to say something.
Oh, you know, Ed always wants to say something, but Ed is learning how to keep his mouth shut long enough to let the callers get in.
Oh, no, that's fine, Ed. Go ahead.
But look. Now, the thing that's going to happen here is that we get into all these semantic issues about, you know, 1870s law versus 1900s law, and then what happens is you get into a semantic argument with people that are diametrically opposed, and what happens is yakety yak for 10 years.
That's right.
And with absolutely no and seaside's hamstrung, and the people that are that want that stuff to be, you know, warm fuzzy for the rest of their lives are hamstrung, and absolutely nothing happens. And so the thing, what we're trying to get to here is to change the paradigm a little bit and to say, look, in order for us to get past it, you know, I mean, if we were all lawyers and if this were a perfect world, then the law would be clear and everybody would be able to follow
That's
it.
Right.
Nobody really, but it's never that way. And so what happens is, and what's happening now is that we get into these didactic arguments about, and they go round and round and back and forth, and absolutely nothing happens. And that's because they get into the finer points, and the more frustrated you get with whatever side you're on, the finer the points of law you get into it, whether we're qualified to voice those opinions or not. And so, and that's exactly the recipe for nothing happening for the next 10 years on this issue.
Oh, well,
and to me, that's the biggest danger we got.
To quote a famous law professor, there is no such thing as justice. There's only the law, and that varies day to day and as the sun rises and sets.
That's right, and it's an and the law is the way that human beings are. And I think that if we get down to what fundamental structure of a human beings love to go around and stuff about this. So I mean, like, look, and here's the deal: is that if you're teaching your kids, what we're doing is we're instructing our kids by the dialogues that we have about city issues. And I'm like, you know, if you're on a softball team and the ref makes a call that you don't like, you don't get to stop the game and call on the lawyers until you get what you want. And so in a way, what, you know, I was thinking
you,
about
you know what I think is more important?
What?
To the future of Santa Cruz and the city and stuff is the issues, you know, that have come up over the last year relative to, let's say, a convention center or eminent domain.
Absolutely.
If you're a friendly developer to the city of Santa Cruz, they don't declare eminent domain on your property, but down the block, if you aren't friendly to the city council, they declare eminent domain on your property.
And we're not mentioning any names, are we?
No, but I'm just saying the same thing.
It's okay.
The same thing
exists. In fact, please do.
Or within the city limits, a piece of property where an ice company used to exist, I forget the name of it now.
The Union Ice Company.
But you could say that it's a habitat, and then a year later, so the property owner can't sell it. Then a year later, you define it not as a habitat.
Yep, after it burned down.
Right.
Yeah,
and then
seriously.
You sell it to another friendly developer, the same friendly developer, to develop a property, and you give them a zero-interest loan that we all pay for.
Yep, yep. That's absolutely true.
So,
hey, David,
I mean,
thank you for your call.
Well, one last thing. On the across from the boardwalk, there's a large area of empty parking lots. For 40 years, the Seaside Company has tried to develop a hotel, multi-story parking, and convention center there at zero cost to the city of Santa Cruz.
Yep.
Zero cost. Most people, all the newcomers, forget this. No cost to the city. Every time they've proposed the plans, they've been fought, and it's been shot down by the city council.
Yeah, you know, that's what really got me started in this gig was I was like, look, you know, I didn't like the design of the hotel conference center either, but you know what? We got to have one, and it's time we've been talking about
it. But the Seaside Company was going to pay for it?
Absolutely, and you know, there have been plans floated, and that's actually the right location for it.
Right.
But you know what? It's like...
You got it.
We have to sit, and we have to make people...
They're not friends of the city council, whereas the Santa Cruz Hotel was, and so we were going to spend all that money building it at public funds.
Okay, absolutely. You made your point. Thank you, David.
Have a wonderful day.
Hey, you too. Thanks. Here comes Phil in Santa Cruz, our next caller on the KSCO Saturday special.
Good morning.
Hey, Phil.
I feel like your previous callers are confusing several issues. For example,
you're the Phil who lives in Beach Flats, huh?
Yes.
I recognize your voice from 14 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yours, Michael.
Well, you should, because I'm on the radio, but you're not normally. You
right.
are now. But go ahead.
Well, this is not about eminent domain. It's a totally different matter. The laws are really much more straightforward than your previous guest was making them seem as if. There is Article 10, Section 3 of the state constitution that prohibits the grant or sale of tide lands. All tide lands within any state become the property of the state at admission to the Union, in the case of California, 1850. The definition of the tide lands is whatever was below the mean high tide line as that line existed when the state joined the Union. So whatever was tide land in 1850 remains tide land in spite of any artificial accretions, as they're called, that dry out areas that were below the mean high tide line in 1850. That explains why these particular lands are being challenged and why the matter is in court. And why wheels definitely are turning, and this thing is not going to be talked about for 10 years, as your previous speaker just alluded. There is presently a Senate Bill 365 that has just recently been passed by the Senate and is now in the governor's hand that was designed specifically in response to our situation and one in Long Beach. And the wheels are turning, and the law is clear, and if the law is applied accurately, some considerable part of that Third Street parking lot and very possibly some part of the boardwalk itself will become publicly owned. They could continue to be used by the boardwalk in a leaseback arrangement. That's all consistent with public trust uses. This is merely a matter of who should own this land, and the law is relatively clear, and the courts fairly consistently rule on behalf of the public when the evidence is as solid as it is in this case. That is to say, these old maps dating back into the mid-19th century that clearly indicate that the beach flats used to be a lot smaller than it now is. That is to say that all this additional growth on both the riverside and the beach side is artificial in nature, caused in large measure by a huge amount of fill that was put in by the railroad in the 1890s. And bulwarks along the river.
Phil,
and then,
Phil,
course,
you're going on and on. I got to cut you off, okay?
Is it too complicated for
no,
you?
No, it just,
hey,
it's, I can feel all the people tuning out. I mean, just cut to the chase. Talk faster. What's your point here, okay?
Well, maybe the question really to ask Bill, is what
land.
Do you want to
okay,
see?
So that's all
I
you know, it's
public land, Michael.
Here.
Do you like to walk on the beach? Do you think that the beaches should be privately owned?
Absolutely not.
Well, this is exactly the same law that protects the beaches, which could easily become privately owned if this law is not vigorously defended.
Okay, so, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump down your throat. You're just taking too long to make a point. You could have said all of that,
well,
and it's my fault for letting it talk on for 5 minutes.
You
would have more of
an understanding of it to begin with.
Okay, we don't need that. Just come and say your opinion, which is
I
what
just
you just did in
what
the last
more would
10
you like
seconds.
To know?
Okay, now
you
here's
act
my
like
question.
This is a simple matter. It's
here.
Not a simple matter, and you're understanding.
Here, I'm going to put him on hold so I can ask him a question, okay? I haven't heard from him. That's Phil Baer, I believe, who lives in the Beach Flats. He's been a Beach Flats occupant and activist for many, many years. And Phil was on KSCO early on, I think within the first year or two that our family purchased the radio station. And even before, when I did a program called the Saturday Forum, not the Saturday Special, before I was involved in the ownership of the station, and so Phil is quite a guy. But I'm fascinated because this is the first time we've heard from Phil in a long, long time, and I'm going to put him back on the air now and hopefully have him answer the question. Why is it that he's listening or at least participating now? Hey, Phil, you're back.
I am participating because I think that the public trust doctrine is important to every man, woman, and child in this state who likes to walk along the side of a river or likes to walk along the beach occasionally.
Uh-huh.
That right is not something that should be taken for granted. It is under constant challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And to the degree that it is not vigorously defended, it will be lost. You will have a privatized coast, just like you have a privatized estuary right now,
Phil,
and a privatized main beach.
What about the Coastal Act? I think that's what it was called, of 1972, that established the Coastal Commission. Didn't that statewide initiative make clear once and for all that the public, the beachfront shall be publicly owned and that the public may not be excluded from it?
No,
even though there are some waterfront properties, those waterfront properties have to have easements if there's a beach for the people to be able to walk in front.
Extension of Article 10, Section 3 of the state constitution and is, in fact, superseded by constitutional law. The commission is following the constitution, not vice versa.
Well, the man seems to really know what he's talking about, though. And
he definitely
does. The question
does.
I would like to ask, Bill, is what would you like to see down there?
That is not my decision to make, of course.
No,
this
that's,
is
what that's what I'm asking, and that's really what I want to know is, look, you know, one of the things you got to get to, if you're going to get to yes with conditions on this deal, is to find out what you really want. So here's your chance. Do it.
Well, I want to emphasize that this is a dispute about ownership in terms of what the public would then choose to do with the property should it become public property. That would be an elaborate public decision, which I would hope would go through the whole public process
and get a lot of public input.
I can give you what.
Thank you. There goes Phil. Here comes Soquel Bob. Soquel Bob, you're on the air on KSC.
What Phil Baer has said is very important, Mike, and you should let him talk without interrupting him. Oh, this business, at least Phil Baer has a.
You ask him a question, and he tells you how to build the watch.
That's not true, and you let him talk. You didn't let him talk just as much as you would. Because you let the two other people talk before him, and what he had to say is very important.
Okay, you say it. You say it because you say it fast.
Let me finish, please, Mike. At least he quoted the state constitution, which none of the other callers did. Good for you, Phil, if you're listening. And I've known you for a long time, Mike, and I've known Phil Baer for a long time. And you should stop making these generalizations and oversimplifications about things that you don't disagree with, Mr. Moderator.
Okay, go ahead.
That's basically what I wanted to say. And this business of the high tide line is something that's very important. The city of Capitola notwithstanding, the last caller before Phil said was absolutely correct. The city of Capitola is in the high tide line, and technically that could be absorbed by the state too, according to the state constitution, which Bill correctly stated was implemented in 1950, according to the compromise of in 1850, which was involved in the compromise of 1850 by the United States Congress. So that's what I wanted to say. And while we're on the same subject, it's very easy to label people and to use such things as generalizations and name-calling, which you did with me the last time I called. You referred to Mr. Clark, Richard Clark, as a weasel. Well, a weasel to me is a very clever animal. I've had experiences with weasels. Weasels.
Then you should be happy with me.
Pardon me?
You should have been happy with me then, not upset.
Happy with you in what way?
Because I referred to your darling as something that's a good thing.
No, I don't refer to your darling, Mr. Bush, as a weasel, because I don't engage in name calling. When people engage in name calling and labels, it means they're losing the argument.
Okay, but listen, that was not in the context of an argument, Bob. When I referred to that guy as a weasel,
what
I don't think
in
it was.
Context of?
I don't think it was. Was I talking to you?
It was in context.
Oh, I was talking to you, right? Okay, and I just said, "Oh, that weasel."
Okay.
I think
well,
that's
anyway,
what it was.
No,
anyhow, Bob, before you hang up, please.
I try not to refer to people as weasels or engage in name calling.
Okay.
There we go.
All right, Bob.
I think Mr. Martinez is absolutely right in what he's trying to do here. He's trying to bring people together. The Constitution of the United States was developed as a result of compromise.
Now listen, Bob.
Yes, Mike.
Come on, you have to be fair and reasonable here.
Well,
you know that you have a great sense of humor, and you know that I have a great sense of humor, and you know that the first day of government class in 1967, you got up and said, "There's absolutely nothing wrong with Japs and Chinks and Spicks and other inferior people." And you looked up and you to see if people got it. And I was cracking up, and so were a lot of the other people with good sense of humor who knew that you didn't mean that.
That was 20 years ago.
More than that.
Mm-hmm.
It was 30-plus years ago.
Okay, well, my point. Well, that's fine. I've never been accused of not having a good sense of humor.
Yes.
What are your positive characteristics?
And you have to have some humor on talk radio or else people click the dial. When they click the dial, you don't have any listeners left. When you don't have any listeners left, you won't have any advertisers. When you don't have any advertisers, you don't have any favorite radio station anymore.
And you get ripped by the
same. At the time you used the word weasel, it was a serious discussion, and I deliberately tried not to bring humor into the discussion. But I can be just as humorous as the next guy, as you know, in the proper setting.
Okay.
I didn't think at the time that was a proper setting.
Okay.
And and of course you and I have had a lot of fun together laughing at different things, and I still have a great deal of regard and affection for you. That's one reason I'm calling you now.
Good.
I'm bothering to call at all on this station because I feel very strongly about you personally.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to be the moderator, be the moderator.
Hey, let me take a crack at this one though. You know, since I'm new to the station, SoCal Bob.
What'd you say?
Since I'm new to this station, SoCal Bob, I'm looking for, you know, kind of what we're gonna do with that piece of land down there once we decide where the tide lines are and mean high tides and what mean high tide means and you know, once we wrangle about it. And I think that the broader scope is look, is that where the convention center
mean
belongs?
High tides are the opposite of nice high tides.
No, Michael, I know what it means. But the question about, you know, how many square feet that is, and that's where the semantics breaks down, and that's where we start getting diametrically opposed to each other, and that's where nothing happens. So, SoCal Bob, what do you want to have? What do you want to see down there?
I mean, I want to do what the state constitution says and what the U.S. Constitution says, regardless of the way I feel personally about this. I have mixed emotions about the whole issue.
So you want to see it preserved for the public,
I do
right?
believe that people should have access to the beach. When we traveled in Europe, and particularly in Great Britain, where my wife is from, every property near the beach has an access to it.
That's right.
Something that's written into law, and it belongs to people. But let's talk about the judicial review of these proceedings. We may have to contend this issue. I'm not saying it will. Might even reach the U.S. Supreme Court.
Not that it has to do that. You know, I hope that it doesn't have to do that because that's where we break down.
Well, I agree with you up to a point, but there is a point at which that you have to engage in judicial review because that is written in the U.S. Constitution in Article 3.
Yep.
And one of the things that the state constitution can do, that the state Supreme Court can do. And declare an amendment as opposed to the law unconstitutional. In that case, it would go up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I'm glad that, and if you're listening, Roxanne, whether I agree or disagree with you or not, and I do most of the time, I'm glad you brought this issue up. And good luck to you, and good for you, Phil Baer, for bringing up this issue.
And I say good to Phil Baer, too. What I guess you, and I hope, what I guess you don't understand, Bob, is that I got disgusted with Phil because Ed asked him a simple question about his opinion, much like he asked you. And I guess Phil, instead of saying, I don't have an opinion on that or I don't care to answer that, he went on this long philosophical esoteric thing that makes the listeners want to tune the radio station. And I don't want that to happen. So I hope you understand.
Mike, there are sometimes no simple answers to complex questions. And you can't give a simple yes or no.
Okay, then have him say that, okay?
Pardon me?
Then have him say that. I didn't want this to become public radio, national public radio. Okay, because national public radio, to me, I think it's great. I think it's great, and it serves a purpose, but it's boring as hell. It's boring as sin to me.
It'll never be national public radio as long as you and your mother own the station. Don't worry about that. That's a real stretch, my point. It's even close to being national public radio. And maybe national public radio is not KSTO and KMMY.
Thanks.
It's a rolling corporation.
There okay. We go. Thanks for calling, Seth Hill,
okay.
Bob.
Okay, thank you. Here, now, we have to take a commercial break since we haven't played any all hour.
But Jim,
Judy DeVille is here. By the way, people that are on the go, I know they tell me it's very, very hard to take the liquids with them when they go on their trip to get their supplements in every day. Well, you know something? There's a very, very convenient way to do it. You can use the Ultimate Daily Tablets and the mineral capsules. I do it myself. When I'm going on a trip, if I have enough room, I just take the two bottles with me. If not, just use a little baggie and take a couple of daily doses with you. It's very simple. It's very easy. There's no mess, no fuss, no refrigeration. Just take your capsules, take your tablets, and you're finished for the day. I like to do mine three times a day. That's what you should do. 888-352-7500. That's 888-352-7500. Or you can just go online to my website at judy.ksco.com. A very convenient way to order. Do it now. 888-352-7500.
Preventing you from seeing the dentist. Listen to how we've helped others with sedation dentistry.
Hello, I'm Pat. I've had probably 40 years of dental drama and trauma, and usually I would go in for a dental procedure only when it was an emergency. Probably had about a dozen different dentists. None of them were painless. I would quit. I wouldn't follow up my procedures, and it would lead from one disaster to another. I would highly recommend Dr. Peabody to anybody that has any tension or apprehension about a dentist. He's the man, and I'm a true believer.
We've helped hundreds of people wake up to a beautiful smile. Let us help you, too.
Call Dr. Guy Peabody at 457-0343. That's 831-457-0343. Find Dr. Peabody's sedation dentistry on the web at drpeabody.com or in the Yellow Pages. You too can wake up to a beautiful smile.
If you think you missed the boat on low mortgage rates, think again. This is Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland with more good news for homeowners and home buyers. There are still mortgage loan programs that offer low rates and lower payments than you can possibly imagine. If your goal is to save money on mortgage payments, pull cash out for any reason, or to pay your home off early, please call Pacific Inland today at 475-2600. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
Oh, yeah, now there's one more commercial that we should play. Here it is.
Hey, Charlie, what's up?
Well, my car died, and I need a ride to rent a car.
What do you want to rent a car for?
Because I can't afford to buy one.
Oh, sure you can.
I can?
And you can't afford to wait.
I can't?
No, because this weekend is Bay Federal's last auto sale of the year.
Oh.
All the big dealers, two cool locations, hundreds of cars, and Bay Federal's easy low-rate loans.
Wow.
Prizes, too. County fair tickets. Even Lex will be there.
Lex? From Survivor? Is it the last sale of the year?
Yeah, last one in Santa Cruz County. It starts Friday noon at 1000 Main Street in Watsonville.
Oh, and the other one is at the Capitola Mall,
mm-hmm.
right? I remember now. That's where you got your car last year.
There you go.
Well, I make the same money as you, so about that ride, why?
Way ahead of you, Charlie. Don't worry about it. I'll pick you up this weekend for the last best auto sale of the year with the best auto loans around.
Yeah, loans insured by the NCUA.
Whatever. I just know it's your last chance to buy a car the easy Bay Federal way.
Now about that down payment.
Don't push it, Chuck.
Okay, welcome back to the remaining 55 seconds of hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. MZ with you, along with Ed Martinez. You there, Ed? Hey, Ed. Well, I guess Ed's there. There was there, whatever. Anyhow, we got another hour coming up, so if you want to chip into the conversation, call us at 479-1080 or 477-1340. And you will be able to get on the air with us. What we're going to do right now is tease the next hour. We're going to start hour number two with Kay's latest commentary on a fair tax. Then we're going to talk about what happened this last week about KOMY in the news once again. So there's a whole lot more, and it's okay. And it blew up into a whole big thing.
Sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Was that you coughing or sneezing, Ed?
It was.
Oh, okay.
I had to work this board. That off button is kind of one of those crucial things, isn't it?
That's all right. I've been doing it for 15 years, and I still did. In fact, you know, yesterday I was driving around in Silicon Valley. Say that again?
They let you drive?
In Silicon Valley, I was driving, and I think I was tuned to our station, and I thought I heard one of the co-hosts belch. On the air, and then belch again, and then belch again.
Horrible.
Yeah, and I was thinking, no, this can't be true. That's not becoming, and it's not dignified, and it certainly doesn't belong in the drive time. And then I thought about what got me kicked off KSCO in January of 1967. It wasn't a belch, but it was a Bronx cheer type noise. You know, when the fish stinks, it stinks from the head, and maybe I would had set an example. You know, everybody knows that story, everybody who's been around the radio station for any amount of time, and so how can you fault those guys for doing that? Besides, it was funnier than hell.
And we could
However,
probably build a show around just, you know, bodily noises. I mean,
say that again?
We could probably build a whole show around bodily
Stern has
noises.
Done that, you know, quite successfully.
I wasn't going to mention any names. But
yeah,
was,
but
that
I mean,
was what was
we should
on.
We should innovate. We shouldn't. What's the word? Innovate, not copy, you know, not whatever.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So anyhow, what we're going to do right now is we have to be true to our word here and play the latest commentary that my mom recorded this week.
Well, what about, we've got somebody hanging on the line here.
Well, nothing's more important than playing Kay's commentary. And Jim and Felton will understand, I'm sure. Okay?
Yeah.
So here, we're going to do this right now here, okay, as soon as I can bring it up on the computer here, which will be any second here. Okay. Whoops. Oh, yeah, here. Yeah, so we have to do this the right way here.
This comment is for the venerable Michael Zwirling. I hope you get this during the Saturday special. That's when I'm listening to this. I would like to know who peed on your cornflakes this morning, Mr. Zwirling. I've never heard you act like this in the, 12, 13, 14 years of your show? Thank you. God bless you. Love you.
Excuse me. I made a mistake. I meant to play Kay's commentary.
I was going to say, but I like
commentary.
That one.
Here is Kay Zwirling.
It is well known that the only constants in life are death and taxes. Death is not negotiable, but taxes are, at least in a sense that they could be made more equitable. The IRS taxing system is unwieldy, unfair, old-fashioned, and overburdened, but it's here and we're stuck with it because no political leaders will step forward to suggest changes and follow through on those changes. The IRS is like a mini-city which supports thousands of employees. Only when enough citizens demand of our government representatives that it is way past time for a change, will anything happen? When a system is so unjust that large corporations making millions of dollars are legally able to use government-sanctioned loopholes so they pay no taxes whatsoever, it's time for a change. Will it happen? Probably not. Too many thousands work for the IRS and will be displaced. So what? The rest of us, the little people who have been carrying the load all these years, we're tired of it all. To replace the federal income tax, it's been suggested that there be a fair tax, which is essentially a sales tax. The so-called fair tax has been bandied about for some time. Briefly, fair taxation is dedicated to fully replacing all the revenue generated under the current federal income tax system with a single rate. There are 27 benefits from the fair tax, and here are a number of them. You keep 100% of your pay and pension. You never file a tax return. No more IRS. No audits of citizens. It has the lowest overall tax rate of any tax system. It eliminates all marriage tax penalties. All taxpayers are treated fairly. No loopholes for anyone or any corporation. Social Security benefits will no longer be taxed. No taxes in buying necessities for your family. Average family incomes will soar more than 10%. No taxes on the poor. Mortgage rates will drop between 20 to 30%. Small businesses would never have to track income or payroll tax withholdings or deductions. Even criminals will pay taxes when spending their ill-gotten gains. Those who take the most out of society by consuming more pay the most in taxes. Individuals will have more control. People can make choices about how much to pay in taxes by deciding when and what to buy. Used goods are not taxed. Tax evasion will decrease. It is easier to hide income and overstate deductions than it is to hide consumption. And finally, the fair tax is more suitable for the information age, the age of non-traceable transactions with the advent of the Internet. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
It does say and KOMY, and this hasn't played on KOMY, but I really think it should play on KOMY. Don't you think so, too?
I do. Yeah. I think everyone should play. You know, KOMY, while you're branding it, is one of those things that we should run all the formats on it and let it settle out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Boy, that sure flies in the face of this letter to the editor that ran in the Sentinel today, or this week, actually. I'm going to read that here. Hey, hold on, Jim and Felton. Hold on. We're going to get to Jim in the, but this is what we call a segue in the radio business. It's no wonder that advertisers are hesitant to purchase ad space on KOMY 1340 as a wolf-sheep hybrid station. Although proclaiming to be liberal, much of the programming, including the 12 noon to 1 p.m. slot between Al Franken and Randy Rhodes, is politically right of center. I have sent this concern to the station after one particularly offensive and inaccurate lunch hour. If Mr. Swirling really wants to give liberal AM radio a chance, he should. He was guided by the syndication professionals that listeners want stations to have a clear message and agenda, which KOMY does not. The Sentinel's article takes the claim that this station is being liberal as fact. Listen to it for 24 hours and then try to support this conjecture. As it stands, I would call KOMY 1340 AM a mixed radio station with select liberal and conservative programming. And that's from someone named Karen Wright in Felton. Okay, so I guess Karen is not going to be happy if we actually, you know, do what you say, although I think she thinks we're already doing that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I kind of looked at that, and I saw the same letter to the editor, and I went, actually a compliment, because I think what really missing is balance, and in a way, it's like if KLMY is going to fly, then, you know, that's the whole thing, is that's wrong with the liberal conservative labels.
Yeah.
You got a little bit of both running around in Santa Cruz, and you could take any five issues, and people are either liberal or conservative on those issues. So.
Well, I really want to get into this in detail in this hour, but since poor Jim and Felton has been waiting for 22 minutes and 20 seconds, let's put him on right now and thank him for waiting. Jim, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm pretty flexible, and I'd rather listen to Kay than hear myself talk anyway.
Oh, you're not.
I agree with her 100,000%.
Well, I think this particular commentary should be on both stations, although we had many long and hard meetings, you know, prior to turning KOMY to at least partially liberal. In those meetings, we concluded that Kay's commentaries really should be kept off the stage. But actually, why not this particular one? Because who could argue with what Kay said?
Nobody could.
In this particular one, right?
Well...
And the lefties can't argue with anything that she says logically.
No, well, actually, though.
Right, Ed?
No comment.
Well, you know, that letter by Karen, it's almost scary because and I'm taking a new tack here because I'm not talking about what I was prepared to talk, but I like your idea of flowing to this new subject, is I don't see very much tolerance of free speech there. In the left. They don't want to hear that other side come out at all.
Yeah, but you know what? What I think is really sad, Jim, is that it's not just the left that doesn't want to hear the other side.
Yeah.
The right doesn't want to hear it either. And that's why
we turn on FM radio, we get it.
Right. Well, I always felt that KSCO should be a voice for everyone, and so should KOMY be a voice for everyone. And when we first tried to get Franken on, I was told by the head of the Air America radio network that you can't even hope to be successful doing talk radio unless you're either all liberal or all conservative. And I said, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. You're going to fail with that kind of an attitude. But after about a year, I started thinking, maybe he's right. I mean, people, it's not just the left that's intolerant that doesn't want to hear the other side. It's the other. It's the right also.
Right on, Mike.
I've
been waiting
to
hear
that for
a long time.
I have to admit to that, too, actually.
Well, so that's why we broke down and decided to give prime time, at least prime time, to liberal talk radio on KOMY 1340. Now, bear with me, guys. Here, I don't know whether I have this thing properly labeled in the computer.
A special message from KOMY owner Michael Zwirling.
Since July 18th, we received hundreds of letters and emails praising us for bringing Al Franken and Randy Rhodes to the Central Coast, and believe that KOMY AM 1340 now has an immense audience of intelligent, educated listeners. However, for liberal programming to continue on KOMY, it must be supported by advertisers. If you want liberal talk radio to remain on KOMY, ask every business owner you know to support liberal talk radio by becoming an advertiser on KOMY AM 1340. It's real easy and very inexpensive. Business owners can call my personal voicemail at 429-2200. That's 429-2200 and receive personal service. Help us to continue to bring liberal talk radio to the Central Coast. Have the businesses you know call this number, 429-2200. Remember, 429-2200.
Okay, so that played, I don't know, every hour on KOMY for two or three weeks, I guess. And someone who works for the Sentinel happened to hear it and said, this is odd. I mean, the owner of the station gets on and is basically threatening to change the format back if it's not supported. This is definitely worth a story. So they called us up and said that they wanted to talk with me. And poor Michael was concerned. Poor Michael Olson. He thought the Sentinel was going to do another hit piece on us, you know. But you know what? They did a very, very good job, I think. I think the Sentinel Shauna McCord, who was the reporter, interviewed us, Dan Coiro was the photographer who came in, and the story appeared in last Monday's Santa Cruz Sentinel. Now, it's absolutely amazing how Santa Cruz Sentinel is a local newspaper, and yet Rush Limbaugh, of all people, read or learned about this story even before I read it. Isn't that amazing? And that very morning at 10:30 our time, Rush started talking about it, and here is what he said.
Rush Limbaugh. Making the complex understandable, serving humanity, Rush Limbaugh, talent on loan from God. Here on the EIB network. Brief departure here, folks, from what we've been talking about. There's a news story out there today, I have it in the stack, about a local radio station owner in Northern California who owns two stations. One station is led by me, programmed by me, and one station is led by ERR America. And the station owner has put out a call, and he's a nice guy, I know the guy. He has put out a call to advertisers in the market to support the Air America. He hadn't sold one ad in 3 months. Not one business is willing to, yet this program is sold out on this station. What was that, HR? Is it? No, it's a liberal market. That's what's it's a liberal, very, very, it's Santa Cruz. It's a very liberal market. This program is sold out, and the Air America program can't sell a dime. And I want to help this man because he took a great risk in taking this program early on and putting it in that market. And I don't want to mention his name. He knows who he is. But you have, I guess, a misunderstanding about how liberalism works. You think capitalism is what's driving this. It isn't. What you need to do, if you want financial support, you need to go get funding. You need to ask for donations from people. Probably the best way to support Air America in this market, since advertisers won't, is to find a local boys and girls club and tell that boys and girls club that you need an operating loan for some unrelated purpose. You want to tell the boys, normally people give money to the Boys and Girls Club, but liberal radio has found a way to extract money from the Boys and Girls Clubs. It was a Gloria Wise Club up in New York. And I think this is the lesson for all of you who wish to show some sort of financial revenue income by carrying liberal radio. You have to orient yourself toward fundraising, not commerce. Commerce has never been part of the recipe here. Donations, fundraising, and it's been shown that boys and girls clubs will willingly give to liberal radio until they learn they're not going to get the money back. And then, of course, you have a problem. But that would be my suggestion. I don't want this guy to suffer out there for caring and making a decision like this. He was only trying to balance his market. It's just a small example of how I am trying to help everybody. It's exactly the way I tried to help Carl McCall, who was running for the Democratic primary for governor in New York, and the punk Terry McCall of Stifton, the Democratic National Committee, promised him campaign help in the form of donations, and none was forthcoming. And I said, this is strange. This is a party that supports blacks and minorities. And they left Carl McCall and just hung him out to dry. So we actually began a fundraising effort on this program. And people listening to this program, I just asked them to send a dollar, because Democrats, they don't like money from the rich other than Hollywood rich people. Just send a dollar to Carl McCall's campaign. And apparently enough of you did, because it was written about by a columnist in the New York Daily News who was upset with the Democrats that it was left to my audience to fund the Carl McCall campaign. In New York, and so I'm just trying to help this. This guy has made a terrible blunder. He thought liberal radio was about commerce and dollars and business and selling advertising, and that's not what it's about. You are supposed to see with liberal radio. Those of you radio station owners that take it, you're not supposed to be thinking of making money here. You're donating. You're contributing to fundraising. You are doing something good for the cause. They never said that you were going to make money, Karen. That's not the point. Yeah, you would think that Carl McCall was from New Orleans the way he's being treated, or had been treated by the Democrats. All right, let's go back. Our previous caller, Tom in Houston, said that we misunderstood Mary.
Okay, all right. So, boy, do I feel like a fool. I mean, here, imagine being humiliated by Rush Limbaugh nationally just for trying to be a good guy. At least he said I'm a nice guy. What the heck? Now, listen, we asked for the reporter who started all this, Shauna McCord, to come on with us, and I understand she's here, so let's bring her on. Shauna.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm doing well. I'm actually up in San Francisco right now.
Oh, good. Well, how is it up there? Or
A little chilly.
Oh, yeah, I guess it's sort of foggy up there. So listen, did you hear my little plea for advertisers and that got you to thinking that, hey, maybe this is story worthy?
To be honest, I didn't hear it myself. A photographer, one of my colleagues, Dan Coiro, heard it on the radio.
Yeah.
Because he listens to KOMY a little bit more than I do.
Uh-huh.
I'm more of a KSTO fan. So, anyways, he brought it to my attention, and he kind of mentioned it around the newsroom, saying, this is a good story, guys. Michael Zwirling's on the air saying the progressive Air America is not selling well, and that if advertisers don't step up, it could be in jeopardy. And I've just always been fascinated by party politics and the divided government, what makes someone a Democrat and what makes someone a Republican. So I kind of jumped at it saying, I'd love to do that story. And, so that's what happened, and we told the editors about it, and they said, sure, do it. And it's just interesting in Santa Cruz to have a radio station that's pretty much entirely liberal or progressive in its agenda, and that there's not a whole bunch of people lined up to buy into it.
Well, you weren't listening because you're not within range of the station or normally, and you probably wouldn't have been listening anyhow. But just a little bit before we put out the call for you, we read a letter to the editor from the Sentinel that appeared, I think, Thursday of this week in response to the article that you wrote, which appeared on Monday.
Right.
That basically said we're a wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, they say they're liberal, but they're really a hybrid liberal and conservative station.
I read that.
So, I don't know. You're damn. You know, what do they want? Blood?
Santa Cruz is so weird because everybody is so tied to their personal politics, and they're kind of extreme in you know, what they believe. And a lot of it is progressive, but obviously there's pocket of conservatives that are there and supportive of KSTO.
But, well, there's a lot of them when you get out of the city of Santa Cruz. I mean, my God, a lot of people don't realize that KSCO is a regional radio station that can be heard from north of Sacramento to south of Bakersfield. KOMY can be heard very well throughout the Monterey Bay Area, but we're essentially a Monterey Bay Area-only radio station.
Right.
But would you have predicted Limbaugh would have talked about it? And I don't know if you heard Man Cow. We're going to play that next. Man Cow blasted.
I didn't hear Man Cow, but I was definitely thrilled to hear Rush Limbaugh reference it. And I think it's interesting that people really care about their politics, and that it's interesting that other people.
But I wouldn't have thought this to be a story of national interest. Would have you?
I think because you're bringing in these big names, Al Franken, Rush Limbaugh, Randy Rhodes, Air America, these are, national people with national reputations and people for having strong opinions and people who are very articulate about their point of view. And, you know, they're airing here in the Santa Cruz County, Monterey County area, and they're on different stations, and it's just interesting to see who's going to buy into one and who's going to buy into the other. And there are people who will listen to, say, Rush Limbaugh's show and listen to who those advertisers are and say, well, I'm never going to patronize those advertisers.
Yeah.
Those businesses. And there's people who will listen to KOMY and say, I'm never going to patronize anyone who advertises on the Al Franken show because they are so...
our Michael Olson is a genius because he says now you can... We got a combo package where advertisers can be on both, and so if people walk in and say, "I'm not going to do that," I say, "Well, wait a minute. I'm not saying one over the other. We advertise on both."
I know. You can advertise on both, but someone who's listening to just one thing is not going to realize that.
Because very few people have the talent to be able to listen to one station with one ear and the other station with the other ear simultaneously.
Yeah. That's a little difficult, especially if you're in a car.
Right.
You know, and, Michael, it's just going to take time for people to get, you know, and we have to deliver the programming, you know, in order to get those liberals out there. And, you know, but here again, the definitions are what's really wrong with this thing. And KOMY is going to define itself over the course of time, and people are going to whine and snivel about it all the time, and that's just the way it's going to be. And the more they do, the better for you, you know?
Hey, good. Shauna, thanks very much. Enjoy your day in San Francisco. Good to talk to you.
You too.
And way to go. It was a great story. The only thing that was inaccurate is that you said 1430 instead of 1340.
And we ran a correction. I don't know.
Oh, good. Okay.
Dyslexia.
Bless you. Yeah,
no,
okay.
We did run a correction. Sorry about that.
Have a good one. Thanks.
You too. All
Take
right.
care. There goes, that was Shauna McCord, a great reporter for the Santa Cruz Sentinel. And she wrote a story about KOMY and its trials and tribulations obtaining advertising to support Air America. Okay, now here's what Mancow said. He blasted me out of bed in the morning yesterday. Here.
Cal, hey, congrats on fatherhood. How you doing?
Thank you. Michael Zwirling, we are on a station his in Santa Cruz, California.
Ah, beautiful.
And he is one of the renegades of this industry. And small stations, sorry, Michael, but everyone knows him from Rush to Stern to Imus to whoever you can think of. They all know this guy because he's just out of his mind. He's insane. Well, he's a rebel. He is a rebel. He took on Clear Channel. He took on Rush. He took on the FCC. Went to them and got in their face, got up in their grill. Is that all fair what I'm saying?
Not really. They asked for a public comment, and I'm part of the public, so I commented.
Yeah, okay. But now, I just love this story. So you hired Al Franken.
We put Air America on KOMY because Santa Cruz is a liberal place.
Right.
And they've been screaming
there's a sign as you go into Santa Cruz that says nuke free zone.
Yeah.
So you can't drop nukes on Santa Cruz because they have a little sign.
Oh,
it's a nuclear free zone.
Okay.
Good.
Now.
I'd want to live there.
So it really is great. It's a great town. Okay. Had a lot of great parties there, and Michael's a pal. But he's insane. In a good way. Insane like a Tucker or a Howard Hughes kind of, you know, successful and insane. How's your mother?
She's great. She's feistier than ever. You ought to hear her latest commentary.
She's a hellraiser.
On the taxes.
So he hired Janine Godawfulho and Al Franken, Albient, the man that can put any radio listener to sleep.
Yeah.
And Michael, in the most liberal, maybe Berkeley's better.
No, Berkeley is right-wing compared to Santa Cruz.
Wow. Okay, so the most liberal city on earth. And what happened, Michael?
Well, we got a lot of calls. You forgot Randy Rhodes here, because that was it's very early in the morning here.
I know.
But
I'm going to come on your crappy little show and yawn, you jerk. Okay, Michael,
yeah.
let me help you then.
So right, you helped me.
People weren't advertising. So he said, look, I do Rush, it gets ratings on my other station, people advertise. I do Michael Savage, it gets ratings, people advertise. I do Man Cow, it gets ratings, people advertise. Here it is, and they always yell at him. Why do you have these people on? Because they get numbers.
Right.
It's business. So he goes, okay, look, here, I'm gonna do all liberal. I'll do all liberal, the most liberal city, here you go. And nobody advertised because so he went on. So here's the station owner, multi-station owner. He gets on, he says, okay, hi, this is the station owner, and hope you're enjoying what you listen to, but you're not buying it. So I'm gonna turn it off if you don't spend money.
Do people spend money?
And what was the reaction?
Bleep you. No. No, we're still waiting. Listen, in all fairness,
it's been 6 months,
no.
We're still waiting.
Al Franken is a bore, man.
Hey, listen, what we did got us on Rush.
Right.
What we did got us on your show right now. So I don't think it's so stupid.
But, wait a minute, have I just been used?
<It hurt me. laughs>
Have I been bamboozled? Because I'll fly down there and do some ass kicking if I have to. I will. Mad Cow's Morning Madhouse. The point is, nobody cares about these jobs except for the media.
Okay, so much for Man Cow. Yeah, he's on, by the way, from 4 a.m. until 8 a.m. live each weekday morning on KOMY. So tune into Man Cow if you want to get moving fast in the morning, because that ain't no slow-moving show, you can tell. I mean, my phone rang at 5 in the morning. I was sound asleep, and that's why I was not sounding very with it. I know I don't sound with it much of the time anyhow, but... okay, so if you want to call us, there's only 25 minutes left in the Saturday special. 477-1340 is the phone number for you to call, because the 479-1080 lines are filled up. So let's go back to him here. Big Gun Gordy, I think, has been waiting the longest. So let's put him on. Hey, you're on, Gordy.
Good morning, Michael.
Hey.
I have a comment about that Sentinel article and a few things I want to add on to it. The key phrase there is... message and agenda. Now, what message and agenda did that writer want you to, you know, propagate?
Shucks, I wish I would have put you on with her while we had her on.
Well, I'm not talking about the editorial. I'm talking about that letter that went in.
Oh, the letter to the editor. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, message and agenda translates to propaganda in my mind. And this is another one of these cases where, as I told you about a year ago, you give them your hand and they'll take your arm off. They want to change your noon show is a dialogue based program. Okay? They want to change that into a diatribe, and the next step is diarrhea.
Hey. We're working on station position statements. Maybe we should make diatribe, not diarrhea.
Yeah, yeah.
KOMY, AM 13.4.
Through their idea of eminent domain.
Or should it say diarrhea, not diatribe?
Yeah. Instead of eminent domain, it's enema domain.
Enema domain.
getting past the silliness here slightly. We're not listening to the other side of these issues. We're listening to the far side.
You have your choice with both stations now. That's
you
all.
Do. You do, and I don't have any complaint about that. I can give you one little bone. I can give you some advertising here. I have a person that had traditionally advertised on your station that no longer wishes to. I can bring them back. And what could be better than having a conservative position advertiser on a liberal station program?
We'll take it.
We'll take it.
We'll certainly take it.
I'll have them contact. Have them contact you.
429-2200.
2200.
Yeah.
Okay.
They can talk to me to my voicemail directly. And
great.
If it's not a crank call, I will return it.
I thought it would be great if we can do a little mix here. If you've got Randy Rhoads or Al Franken in the middle of their program, who they perceive as a right-wing advertiser is in the middle of the program, then we can get a twofer there.
Yeah.
We can educate a little bit and make them think a little bit, make them wonder a little bit.
Yeah, and I think the left would get very upset. If they're upset that that we have hosts that aren't liberal enough for them on the one-hour midday news at noon, and that's actually 45 minutes because the first 15 minutes is local news. But if they're upset about that, they're really going to be upset if they start hearing ads from conservative business owners. But maybe they won't know that, because I don't think a business owner is particularly interested in waving their being in your face with their politics. I don't think that's the case.
Hey,
anyhow, Gordy,
really
thanks for calling.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, Ed, what were you saying?
I was going to say, and we're really only talking about one letter to the editor here, so this is really not like the liberal agenda of Santa Cruz has spoken at this point in time.
Well, yeah, but you don't think that her, Karen, I think was her name, who wrote the letter, you don't think that her sentiments are shared by many others?
I think
who are upset
like
that Man Cow is on the radio station, or upset that Roy Masters is still on the radio station?
Well, you know, here again, it's the definitions that, you know, I think a lot of liberals out here listen to ManCow, and I think a lot of people listen to a lot of different stuff, and that as Big Guns just said, it's, you know, it's really not a bad idea for people to start listening to each other's shows.
Uh-huh.
I have to listen to Rush Limbaugh, even though, it's not
okay.
My favorite
now,
show.
Okay, now, you don't like to listen to him, but you do. Why?
But I do because I want to know what he said. To me, it's like the information. And I think that, you know, my whole trip about Yes with Conditions is that I got to know what the bone is in order for me to get to the meat of the issue, which is really how are we going to get past it? And,
now, you don't like to listen to Governor Schwarzenegger or President Bush, one of them. But
actually, I listen to both of them.
Oh, you do listen to both of them?
You have to. And, then, you know, honestly, it doesn't matter what stripe you are. You have to listen because, you know, it's like the referee of the softball game. You know, you don't get the call all the time, but you have to. They are the people in power, and you have to work with them. And that's what's not happening right now is that we're so polarized that we just go, well, I'm not going to listen to them anymore. So you don't hear what they're saying, and you have to know, you know, what they're saying in order to frame your own opinions.
Well, that's good. So you don't like either of those guys, right? We've started to get into the discussion, but it was an inappropriate venue and time the other day.
No, it's not. And here again, it's not about what I like or don't like. You know what I mean? It's about, this is, you know, the president is the president. The governor is the governor. Now, I didn't like the election, but, you know, it's not, especially as a radio personality, it's not my place to call it. And so what my job is...
I don't know how successful a radio personality you're going to be if you're going to be a Rodney King, you know, character.
Oh,
No.
There's nothing warm fuzzy about me, as anybody will tell you that knows me. But the deal is that in order for you to make educated opinions about stuff, you have to know what the hell you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
And that means you got to listen to the Rushes of the world. And even though it's not my particular cup of tea, it's not that that's the thing is, I think you take your average liberal or your average conservative these days, and those definitions are breaking down because you could take the issue and you watch people flip back and forth. And I know a lot of hardcore conservatives that I agree with completely on certain issues and some that we just diametrically oppose. But until
poor Joe
and
Salinas wants
to
know, he wants to know if he can be on the radio.
Yeah, and I just talked to him. Let's get him on.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Sorry.
I was wondering
so
if Randy Rhodes' show is self-supporting.
Are you kidding?
It's not.
Of course not.
Yeah, I really enjoyed...
Who would advertise on that show?
I don't know. I'm not the... I'm not in the radio business.
Can you imagine the owner of the radio station
who was
saying that?
Who was it was in that time slot before? From like 2 to 3...
Nice. Oh, Tom Martino, I think.
No, not Tom Martino. I'm thinking, I'm sorry for lack of a better term, the conservative Jewish.
Oh, Michael Medved.
Michael Medved. I really miss his thoughtful conservative voice. Also,
right.
I was wondering if between Savage and Phil Henry, is Phil Henry blowing away Savage in the advertising?
No. No, in fact, it's probably the other way around, probably. So what ManCow said was not totally accurate. What Rush and ManCow both said was not totally accurate, and I wasn't sharp enough. Well, I wasn't able to with Rush because it was a monologue with him, but with ManCow, I was too sleepy to jump in. I wasn't thinking quick enough to correct him. It hadn't been 6 months. It's only been 5 weeks.
Rush Limbaugh
said it's been, you know, a lot longer than it had been also. So things get blown out of proportions. And one thing I've learned is that if you somehow stroke people's ego, then you get talked about by those people. We did it unintentionally, you know.
Yeah.
I think it came out in the story. I mean, Rush is pretty much sold out, as is a lot of KSCO, by the way. Of course, KSCO has been around a long time, and Michael Olson is absolutely correct when he says, God, it's only been 5 weeks. Give it a chance to catch on.
And it's going to take the liberals out there, you know, enough time to listen to the station and find the programming they like before they want to advertise with it. And that's totally natural, and that works for the left and the right.
And I was only kidding when I said, who in the world would want to advertise on Randy Rhodes? There are a lot of people who would. There are a lot of businesses that would. I was just kidding around, gang. So,
but, Michael, if Phil Henry's not getting you more than Savage, why wouldn't you put Savage back on KSCO?
Okay, we're going to do that starting Monday. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Okay, here goes Mike in Santa Cruz. You're our next caller here, okay?
Hello.
Mike, this is how we make decisions on KSCO, because, you know, using logic.
He owns the station.
Yeah, Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah, I really don't know what's so hard to understand about all this. liberals, otherwise self-proclaimed progressives, really don't support their own causes financially. They expect government to do it with tax money, which is mostly collected from rich conservatives, they think, since they think most of the money in the U.S. is held by greedy, self-serving right-wingers. And, of course, conservatives are the cause of all the progressive problems, so they should pay. Simple enough, right?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, okay, thank you. There goes Mike in Santa Cruz. Here comes another Mike from Coralitos. Mike, you're on the air.
Mike in Coralitos?
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks
hey,
for calling.
You know, the Air America, I've just started hearing it on your station, and my opinion is that it's, you know, it's awful. It's propaganda. I hate it. I think it's dangerous for our
But no one's forcing you to listen to it. Are
right.
you not listening to it now because you don't have
No,
to?
I go back and forth. I think it has every right to be there. I think it's, you know, it's freedom of speech, and this is America. My question is, are you being paid by them to put them on?
No.
No money's coming to you to get them on?
No, we did it because we thought that it would bring a huge new infusion of audience to Zwirling Broadcasting. And I believe that it has, actually. Okay? I really honestly believe that. As I said in my little, promo for reminding people that this is a business, and if you like it, we like having you, we like having the audience, but, you know, and there's every indication that we have an enormous audience. We probably, you know, between KSCO and KOMY, we probably close to doubled our audience that we had on KSCO and KOMY together before. Because a lot of people have called our comment line at 429-2222. Not to complain, but to praise and thank, and you know, we're
so
heroes all of a sudden.
The advertising's coming in for it now. It's
a little
it,
bit.
So.
It's trickling in. It's trickling in. You know.
So you started. My question was if they do any incentive at all to get themselves on your station financially at all to get them in there to help you until the financing comes. Mm-hmm. I mean, because last thing I would want them to do is to be buying their propaganda on your station.
Well, unfortunately, you know, professional media doesn't work that way, and any more than
Rush, I don't know
and any more than Rush would pay Michael to be on this station. So
yeah, and I don't know anything about the business, but
and you know, I've been showing.
I have such a problem with it. I mean, I think it should be there, and I listen to it, and don't get it. It's just
I have heard. I have not verified that Air America does comp, as the term is used. Comp means pay. Certain stations in larger markets. For example, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if AM 960, The Quake, which is owned by Clear Channel in San Francisco, is being paid in at least $100,000 per month by Air America just to put their programming on. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Okay?
I just think it's such an un-American. I mean, I know, understand they don't like Republicans.
Yeah,
but they endanger our troops and they bring down the morale of this country just for their point of view. They don't care what they'll do. They'll do anything to get their point of view across, and that means our troops, our military, or anything. I mean, Sheehan says that New Orleans is occupied by our military. That is absolutely ridiculous, and I don't understand. You know, if we would all just get together, we could solve a lot of problems, and these people. Just, I mean, I don't want to be terrible. I've never talked on the radio before, but it just turns my stomach.
Well, Mike, you know, one of the things that was happening, I think, what a lot of liberals are doing, it's just really, you know, when we get into dialogues like that, it's such us versus them that they can't come back across. And so if we'd stop that, you know, you're endangering our troops or doing, you know, whether you think that or not, that's fine, you know. But the yes with conditions on this deal is that, you know, I respect your opinion for whatever it is, and I don't have to agree with it. I don't have to like you, but you know what? We got to work together, and that's the way it is.
Mike, we hope you'll call again, okay? And thanks for calling this time. We're going to go to John in Carmel now. You're on, John. You're on KSCO AM 1080.
Hey, how you doing again, Michael? Great show. Listen,
thank you.
I got some real problems with this Air America. I've been listening to it just to pick it up. Randy Rhodes, what a nasty woman she is. You know, we support them by PBS, my tax dollars. That bill went through, and then they rescinded it. You're supporting them. and these people can't make it on their own. How many of our programs do they support? Why don't we have a conservative PBS out there? Why do we have to do this? And I don't understand it. I do not understand if they can't make it. How many advertisers have you gotten to sponsor them?
I wouldn't know. That's a Michael Olson or Jose question.
Would you say at least 1% of what you get for Rush or the rest of the stuff?
No, not yet. Not yet.
You know, and again,
listen, no one has commented on what Rush said himself. You know, it's not about advertising. It's not about commerce. And one of the supporters, just a second, John, one of the supporters is actually on hold right now and will probably be the next call. She'll be the second to the next caller. This is a listener who is so appreciative, does not own a business, does not have a lot of money, but contributes what she can because she appreciates what we've done. And I think that's really sweet. I really do. Pardon me?
Why doesn't PBS let me have a format, or let the rest of the conservatives have a format where we don't have to listen to their dribble out of San Francisco? And Big Bird alone has supported it. So has Mr. Rogers. The amount of money that they've made, and they'll never disclose what they do. They have benefits in their programming that you don't have. They are tax-free. You're not tax-free. They don't run as a business, and yet their executives make huge amounts of money, and they won't release what that is. And I just think that's wrong. One other thing, love your mom, but why is she supporting Red Cross when the Salvation Army gets more money to the people for less administrative costs? And I'll take your answer off the air.
Okay, see if there's time to call Kay, or maybe she'll call in and explain that, or maybe anyhow. Yeah,
and a great program again, but quit supporting those people.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Hey, Z. Z, this is Rick.
Hi, Rick.
KSEO. I answer the most, if not the second amount, calls that come into KSEO's front office. And in reference to the sales item, it has to do with stupid business owners in Santa Cruz, not including yourself. But all these people, maybe a little bit, but not solely. They think that I've had so many calls of, I only want to advertise on Rush, I only want to advertise on Air America. The Air America side hasn't come through, but people, for whatever reason, think that if they advertise on Rush, they're conservative. And I've never understood that. You advertise where the audience is. And right now with Air America, it's so new. In a year, it'll probably have decent ratings.
$13.40, ladies and gentlemen. It's almost free. Can you believe that?
You could put on any show right now. It wouldn't have ratings, no matter how good it is. It needs time. So right now, people would be stupid to advertise with Air America. But give it a year, and they would be the smartest.
No, Rick, you're wrong. You're wrong. We have a huge audience. I can feel it. I can't prove it. I can feel it. Okay, I'm good at that. Like Dave Allen, he's got a good sense of the audience. We got a huge audience on Air America. That's why it's an incredible deal for less than half the normal price, $13.40 for a commercial on Al Franken or Randy Rhoads. That's incredible. That's unbelievable. Okay, Billy in Capitola. I am very, very disappointed in you, Billy.
How's that, Michael?
Well, I was listening to KGO, and I heard you on Ron Owens the other day when I was driving. You should have been listening to Air America on our station. What the hell were you doing on Ron Owens? Not even you listened to Al Franken.
It's worse than that. I even listen at times, because I'm a radio guy, to that new liberal station down here on the Monterey Bay. And I sort of wanted to ask you, how does that fit into, you know, the lay of the land for you and what you see?
But there's another one out there?
Not one that's
been around very long. Yeah. It seems as if they're just copying KSEO, frankly.
Yeah.
You know, here all of a sudden KSEO goes liberal, and what do you know, there's another one.
Most serious form of flattery, you know, Michael.
Exactly. But how many, as the previous speaker just pointed out correctly, it takes time. Whatever you put on, it's not what people were listening to before. It's a shock to them. And new listeners have to find them.
Uh-huh.
But how many boots?
Well, you knew about that.
Absolutely. But what people don't know is things like, for example, how radio works. They don't understand trade outs. You know, they think it's all about cash. So
trade outs.
Trade out. you know.
Oh, well okay. In other words, that doesn't have anything to do with anything.
America is we get to sell
what I'm
ads
saying is that
even
you don't listen to Al Franken.
No, it's not true. I do listen to Al Franken, but I listen to I'm a sampler. I'm not the kind of guy that I mean, you should see when I do a radio diary for Arbitron.
Yeah.
It's amazing because I don't listen to anything for 3 hours. I don't listen to any single show. I'm all over the map.
I think that's a bigger cross section of the market out there, and I think that as soon as people start listening to more of your programming, Michael, I think it's going to pick up. And,
well,
you know,
Michael, yeah. Before I was a liberal, I was a radio fan. You see, so I'm more about radio even than politics. Except that, of course, today, if you're an American, you better be about politics because everything is about politics.
Yeah.
One other question about this advertising issue is how many boots on the ground do you have actually selling ads as opposed to waiting for businesses to contact us?
Good point.
Yeah, you're right. We don't have a whole lot. That's right. You're absolutely right. Okay, thanks, Billy. We got to take Millie's phone call here. Millie, you're on. Hi, Millie.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello.
Hello.
Go.
Almost off. I'm on.
We have commercials to do before the end of the show. You're on.
Come on, Millie, do it.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes,
fine.
We can.
Okay. First, I want to refer back to the caller before Billy.
I think we caught Millie eating breakfast is what I think.
I am not eating. I kept saying hello, and you... I'm up at 6, by the way.
There you go.
Okay. The caller before Billy, who was bitching and moaning about PBS, perhaps this person who may live in a cave, has no idea that Congress, the right-wing Dixiecrats et al., have cut the funds incredibly down in the last 10 years, and they're running on a skeleton crew of money. And that's why they have to have so many shows on trying to get new listeners and viewers.
We should do that, except for advertisers. We have plenty of listeners. There's no question about that.
Yeah, so I think he should vent his spleen on something else.
Oh.
Also, the Al Franken show has excellent informed journalists on every day during his last 2 hours of his three-hour show.
Well, we're trying to get Al Franken to come to Santa Cruz. We want to sponsor a great big thing at the Civic Auditorium. But so far, he hasn't called us back.
Well,
you know, Michael,
trying.
It's about boots on the ground. And, you know, once you get the following going, he'll call you back for sure.
Okay.
I have a question regarding advertising.
Uh-huh.
Is it the policy of your advertising department, your people who go out, I hope go out to get sponsors, do they actually go personally to businesses, knock on the doors, and ask to come in? Do they do that kind of,
sometimes, the situation
calls for that.
Uh-huh.
Michael Olson is known to put on his steel-toed shoes at some points in the world.
Yeah, I really think that there outreach. I think there needs to be more outreach among the community because from what I hear, you're just not getting the sponsors that you need. Personally, I went and spoke to Neil.
But we haven't done anything different than we did with KSCO. We get plenty of sponsors for those shows. Now, what were you going to say?
You've been on for 12 years.
No. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I personally visited him, and I told him that many, many Santa Cruz liberals, bless them, would love to know that this quality stuff is on, such as Randy Rhodes, who does have facts, caller previous to Billy, does have the facts about what's going on in this country. And I think I had him convinced, and he said he would talk to his friends, and he just wanted to know about the rates. Well, I couldn't give him the rates.
Okay, well, thank you.
Wait a minute. I called Michael, and I asked him to please call Coonerty and give him your incredibly low rate. So I hope that happens.
Okay.
This was like 3 weeks ago.
Thank you for letting us know.
Well, you know, Michael, I'll tell you that I think the gauntlet's been thrown for one. So, you know,
now we have to go, guys, because it's 11:59 and 32, 33 seconds. Thanks to all of you. Ed, break your leg on your first show. Break the other one on the second show. This program will be rebroadcast tonight between 10 p.m. and midnight or on demand at KSCO.com. Okay, so here you go. Here we have to plug in our proper ending here, okay, right, like so. Yeah. Well, whatever.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz.
Up-to-the-minute news and the best in talk, AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz, and AM 1340, KOMY Watsonville.
Monterey Bay Local News Talk Radio, KSCO Santa Cruz, and KOMY Watsonville now conclude their broadcast day. KSCO and KOMY are owned and operated by Zwirling Broadcasting System Limited. KSCO is licensed by the Federal Communications Commission, Washington, D.C., to operate at a frequency of 1,080 kHz with a daytime power of 10,000 watts and a nighttime power of 5,000 watts. KOMY is licensed by the Federal Communications Commission, Washington, D.C., to operate at a frequency of 1,340 kHz with a power of 1,000 watts. KSCO and KOMY studios and transmitters are located at 2300 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz on the beautiful Monterey Bay. KSCO and KOMY will resume broadcasting at 6 a.m. tomorrow with another informative and entertaining broadcast day. It is currently 12:01.
Your source for news, sports, traffic, and weather. AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, and Monterey.